Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 19. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but that I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Well, good morning. I recognize that as we live in such a materialistic society, it could be a risk or dangerous to speak about God's wondrous promise of his provision. But that's what we have before us this morning. God has promised to provide for us in such a wonderful way. So let me start by asking, have you ever been in a situation where you had little or no options? Being in a situation where things looked hopeless or you felt helpless? Where you needed to totally depend upon outside help? Even as I was writing that, I was thinking of in reviewing my situation, and I thought of a situation that happened when I went down on my bike last year. And there I was laying in the middle of the road, crossways to my lane, knowing that I was not in the most ideal place to be, and I couldn't move. In fact, it was hard-pressing even to breathe. But knowing that I was surrounded by people who genuinely cared and were willing to help was, even though unspoken, a huge blessing. During the time when Paul wrote to the Philippians, we might say Paul was in a situation where he depended upon others. Yeah, we know that for a time Paul was in house arrest, but he also was acquainted with being in prison in Rome, in those dark, damp, dismal dungeons. Separated from his friends, who knew him intimately and loved him dearly. Deprived from the opportunity to earn an income for himself so to provide for the necessities of life, Paul was in real need. And in his deep poverty and need, Paul was remembered kindly and generously by this devoted Christian friend, his devoted Christian friends in this small church in Philippi, who out of their poverty, as this was not a very wealthy, in fact, it was a poor church, gave cheerfully and generously, sending a love gift to Paul. And this, on more than one occasion, as in the passage that was read, even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my need, Paul wrote. Their gift was sufficient to meet Paul's need and to awaken within him a joyous attitude of gratitude as their thoughtfulness revived him and their love encouraged him, and their concern comforted him. Thus, in this letter to them, Paul acknowledges their love and their generosity, his deep gratitude, and assures them of his contentment even within confinement. It has been said, any life that is filled with the consciousness of God's presence can take the shattering blows of disappointment and the tensions of adversity and see the soul filled with hope and confidence. Let me lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look to this promise that you have given, Lord God, may we hear your voice. May we understand it in the way it has been given. Lord, we recognize that you are an amazing provider, and every good gift comes from you. Lord God, may we recognize the source of your blessing. May we be content to live in the recognition of what you have for us. May we be quick to turn to you and give you praise and thanksgiving for such privilege of knowing you and what you have provided for us. Meet us, we would ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So I direct your attention to Paul and his situation. And by looking at first, we look at the need. It wasn't just Paul's need that he was being considering here. Paul understood the situation in Philippi, facing as they sacrificed for him. Paul commits them to God in the assurance that God will meet their needs through Jesus Christ. And so first we see the need. It's not just considering what was the need for the moment, but obviously we all have needs. From the very beginning of life to death, we have needs. Each of us have needs that are common to one another. Those of you who have taken secular psychology would be familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Needs we have in common. And the most pressing needs are the needs that are at the bottom of the list that is before you. And thus there's a hierarchy, and those needs that are most pressing are on the bottom as they work up the scale. There is value in understanding and appreciating these needs that are common to everyone. There's the psychological or the physical needs, and then the safety needs, the needs of being loved and belonging, and to have that sense of esteem, as well as self-actualization. But there are also other needs that are unique to each of us. They may depend upon our physical limitations, consequences to personal decisions, unchosen challenges, or unique personal circumstances of life. We don't all share the same needs with one another. And as Paul was in need of certain things, the Philippian church were in need of other things. Each of us has our own personal needs that we struggle with and that we call out to the Lord with. And regardless of what we have today or how well satisfied we are today, when we lie down tonight, we may very well wake up in the morning with a new all-consuming need. Because life is not certain. Our physical, intellectual, social, moral, and spiritual needs may be many, may be varied, may be great, and may be constant. But let me share with you that there is a supply. And in doing so, I encourage you to have your Bibles open to Philippians 4. Paul was deeply grateful for the Philippians as they have supplied his need, not only at this time, but repeatedly in the past. But not looking just to his need, Paul clearly demonstrates that my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What an amazing proclamation. And this is what I would like to focus your attention upon this morning. And first we see the source of the supply. We see here the God of the Bible is the source of the supply of our need. Knowing him personally and intimately, Paul rejoiced to refer to Almighty God, the God of the creator of the universe, the God who is worthy of all worship and honor and praise and glory, is, as Paul put it, my God. My God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Paul had found him to be both able and willing to supply his every need. God's infinite storehouses is open to his children. And I imagine we are so influenced by our materialistic society that even as I would say that, many of us would think of it as a material resource that God would provide for us, and we would think of it mainly in a material fashion. But are we aware of man's far greater needs, such as our sin, our need of a Savior? For true direction for what can result in eternal benefits, for purpose. It is not uncommon to encounter people who are so consumed with their personal passions, goals, dreams, achievements, and desires that they give little attention to the things in life that really matter, such as sin and its consequence, and eternity, and real value and purpose. The generated heart understands it is our sin that has isolated us from God. And his promise, and it is only God himself who can take care of that, which he offers through the sacrificial death of his son. As I was preparing this message, I thought how easy it is for me to share the promise of God's provision the week after we have celebrated the most fantastic week in our Christian calendar, Easter, as we recognize and remember what God has done for us in providing a Savior. Thus, God's treasury of love and grace is poured out upon us as we yield, follow, and live for him. Think about it. His unlimited and inexhaustible resources are available to his children. For he is our God, our Father. And as Paul personally proclaims to it, he is my God. Thus, the source of the supply is not just Almighty God, but my God, who knows me, who loves me, who cares for me, who understands me, who recognizes where we are and the challenges that we face. Let's continue to look at Paul's confident proclamation of verse 19 as we see the sureness of the supply. Sureness of, I had to look this up to find out if this was a real word. And it is. It's an adjective referring to certainty, without doubt. The sureness of the supply is guaranteed by the statement, "And my God will supply." every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This plain and positive declaration does not convey any thought of uncertainty. God will supply. God has solemnly promised to meet the needs of his children, regardless of what those needs may be. He is able, willing, and ready to fulfill that commitment. The assurance that God will supply all our needs should remove every doubt and fear from our minds, for his resources are adequate and inexhaustible. Which leads us right on to the sufficiency of the supply. It is important to know and to understand that God does not grant to us and meet all our whims and wishes and wants. But he does promise to supply every need for his children. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we need to learn what it is to go without, to learn to adjust and accept what God has for us. And what we think we might need may not be what God knows that we need. And so Paul testifies of that. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Frequently, it is in our trials we are brought closer to the Lord and into a more complete dependency upon him. I am sure many of you could give testimony to that. I would dare say that some of you were actually drawn into a personal relationship with the Lord because you were facing situations that were outside of your ability to deal with it. And God revealed himself in a wonderful way. Or maybe God has kept you in good fellowship with him as we learn to depend upon his presence and his goodness and his provision. He has kept our attention. Let me illustrate. Often following significant disasters or challenges, the attendance of churches increases. Or in other words, often it is our situations that reveal our real need of him for his guidance and encouragement, support, strength, and health, help. When we are in the midst of trying circumstances, he gives us peace. He's able to give us things that is totally unheard of in the world. When we have such, from our perspective, an inexhaustible to-do list, God is able to guide us in making those important decisions of priority. When we have a vast number of needs, he gives us what we are truly needful of. Go to the abundance of God's grace. No real need ever needs to go unsupplied, for he will provide, he will meet us, he will carry us, and he will walk with us. Many years ago, a woman was traveling across the ocean to North America by boat and became very sick. The ship's doctor ordered that she have nothing to eat except oranges. And in a few days, a steward came to her with the sad news that their supply of oranges had been exhausted. Undisturbed, the woman replied, "My father knows my need and will undertake for me." Surprised, a steward said, "Madam, you forget we are in the midst of the ocean." She replied, "My father is able to open a window from heaven if that were necessary." Hours later, the steward returned to her cabin with his arms laden with oranges. "Your God has undertaken. Just see here," he explained. "How did that happen?" inquired the sick woman. "Did you not hear the siren?" asked the steward. "Well, there was a vessel in distress. A storm had driven it far off course, and all of its fresh water had been used up. We were able to supply them with needed water, and out of appreciation, they gave us part of their cargo, which was oranges." God is God, whether on sea or on dry land. God is God. Oranges do not grow on the ocean, but God has a way to be able to provide for his children. He can drive a vessel off course and trade fresh water for oranges for his sick and needy child. If oranges are really needed, God can supply them according to his promise. All of the treasures of earth and heaven are at his disposal for the purpose of supplying the needs of his children. Are you familiar with the song, "God Will Make a Way"? Just a few of those words say, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide as I'm closely by his side. In love and faith for each new day, he will make a way. Yes, he will make a way. And then consider the standard of the supply, the standard by which God measures his gifts to his children are not by number or enormity of their requests, but according to his riches in glory. Like himself, God's riches are infinite. His riches are inexhaustible and undiminishable. We can't imagine how rich he is, and yet that is not a heady thing or a heady thing for him. It carries absolutely no impact or effect to him. And no, it's not out of his riches in glory. It's according to his riches in glory. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. His response to our need does not affect his supply. Christians can no more exhaust the riches of God's goodness, grace, and glory than a person can empty an ocean. And the standard by which he supplies our need is such that at times his blessings can be so great that it is hard for us to conceive or receive them. Let me share an illustration of this. I was directing a senior boys' camp. One of the counselors was an older man who was a fairly new believer, a new Christian. So I kept a closer eye on him as we were going through the work, seeing how he was doing. I remember God was moving at one of our campfires, and a number of the boys indicated their desire to want to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, at least know more of that. In such a situation, I had encouraged the counselors of the individual boys to meet with them. I would have taken a day before a camp started to meet with the counselors to get to know them and to train them. And one of the trainings would be to share with them how they could effectively lead a boy to Christ. And so these boys, when they wanted to talk more about salvation, they were to talk to their counselors. and they talk to this older but new believer. I stayed back in the shadows just watching. And it's hard for me to communicate the unmeasurable joy that that person experienced as he led these two lads to Christ. He was just overbound with excitement. And they went back to their cabin. And as they got back to their cabin, the boys shared with the rest of the cabin what had happened and what had done. And there were other boys that wanted more and wanted to hear more. And there were other boys that wanted to rededicate their life to the Lord. And there was like a small revival happening in that cabin. And I was talking to the counselor, and he just I've never heard this before, but he just prayed, "Lord, I can't take anymore." God is able to bless and meet us beyond any kind of expectation that we might have. Such is God's ability to bless. I don't know who said it, but there is no reason why we should draw lightly upon God, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. As we ask according to his will and for his glory. And finally, there's the stream of the supply. From God's bounty, his riches in glory flows from the life and the heart of his children to the life and the heart of his children through Jesus Christ, our one and only mediator. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All the riches of his grace and his infinite blessing upon his people are channeled through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, you can be assured God will supply every need of yours through Christ, your Lord. But please understand, we are free, even encouraged, to ask. But not demand, yielding in submission to his will. So, to those who have received Christ Jesus as their Savior, who are living for him, wanting to follow in his way as he leads, fellow brothers and sisters, we can claim this precious promise of God's provision. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's not live as the world, seeking solely the things of this world, but live for our Father, trusting in his provision, rejoicing in his goodness and his grace to us. Let me pray. Father, we bow before you with gratefulness as we are humbled by the promise of your provision. Lord God, we pray that we might not have passion and hearts and desires of this world, but that we might desire to live fully and wholly for you, that we would experience and take opportunity of times when we can serve you and make a difference in our community to your glory. Thank you for such confidence that we have that you are with us and that you will walk with us, that you are fully aware of our situations and our needs. And Lord, we recognize and we do pray that you might meet us in the challenges that we face, that we might live in such a fashion that is pleasing to you. Thank you for the promise of your provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.